Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There we go.
Praise the Lord. We were zoomed out there. And step away a little bit. Feel the frame. Right here is about fine. There we go. Perfect. Thank you, brother. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this morning live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Welcome all of you here this morning. Welcome to the house of God. It is a beautiful day, isn't it? It's going to be like this for the next 5 days, 4 or 5 days. I hope your car is washed. Mine is. Keep it clean for the week. Anyways, I have a few things to get through this morning. But before we proceed, I have a praise report to deliver on behalf of someone. I haven't delivered it yet. So there are a few people that we haven't seen in a while primarily because of the situation that's going on. The COVID-19, yes. And then what's that, the BCCD, the BD, what's the acronym? The people that are telling how many people, CDC, I thought I had a B in there somewhere, CDC, they listen to the CDC, above all, I'll just leave it at that. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whatever. So you might have not be aware of what's happening to some people that haven't been here in a while. Well, potentially you might have noticed that today, and I think I also come through the camera the same way too. I'm just going to fix my jacket here. There. I'm wearing a blue suit, yes? And I hope you on camera can see also the blue suit, right? This suit actually belonged to Pastor Paul. And I wear it once in a while. Praise God. It could get tightened up, a little here, and the sleeves could come up a little bit, but otherwise it fits well. Well, why is Pastor Teddy wearing blue today? Well, because the gender of the child is a boy. Yeah. Wait a minute now. It's not what you think. I know where you're heading with this. So we have a family here by the name of the Police. Joanna. Yes, that's right. And Sunil Pillai just had a baby boy. Amen. Praise God. Zoom out. Zoom out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It's, did he say August 12th, right? October 12th. He was born October 12th. Right around 8 p.m., 8 at night, on October the 12th. And he called me last night to give me the great news. I was the first person that he called, and then I asked him to call Co-Pastor Marcia. And he said, Pastor, I've been keeping this a secret. My family and I have been keeping this a secret. We didn't know what to expect, what was going on, and we did not want to expose ourselves to the elements, and we didn't want to expose ourselves and run any risk because they had some misfortunes in the past, because only the Lord knows why, really. And so we were extra careful, and we have secluded ourselves this entire time, most of this year, and I wanted you to know firsthand. Thank you so much for your prayer. And he also wanted me to share with you, thank you very much for your prayers for him. Even Pastor Paul and us, we all prayed for him and several people. And this is a result of prayer, amen. Of sheer prayer. Amen. So, amen. Amen. He promised me to share a registry that they have put together. I haven't received it yet, but if in case you wish to know what it is, please come see me and I'll share it with you and helping out. I was tremendously blessed with the registry that you guys have helped with my first child. My daughter is one. She just turned one in August. And by all means, let's be there for the Pillies, for Sunil and Joanna. And welcome the little baby boy to our congregation. I don't have a name. Amen. So I'll let the Pillies introduce the name of the child. So the next time you see them, they're going to be carrying a little somebody. Amen. A little baby boy. So that's why I'm wearing blue today. Praise God. It's also another reason why I get to wear this suit. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is great. God is good. Amen. You know, a lot of times we don't understand why certain things happen. We don't understand certain situations and certain circumstances, and it's oftentimes we question God. Said, Lord, why? I do it. I shared it with you last week as a misfortune that happened to me. Someone broke in my home in the middle of the night at 2:30 in the morning while we were sleeping. You know, we were home, stole our SUV on their way out. And like everyone else, I'm also going to question the Lord. I said, Lord, why did this happen? How come? Now, the Lord is approachable, folks. I'm not saying that you should not have a conversation with your Lord, with your God. Ask, approach. The Lord might give you an answer right then and there. Or the Lord might give you an answer 10 years later. You know, in the situation right now with a dear brother and sister in the church, the Lord knew what's best. We all have been praying for the Pillies. They've come here several times. We include them in our prayer. And in God's timing, He gave them a baby boy as a first child. That's awesome. You know? And certain questions, I venture to say this. There are certain things that we might never have an answer until we see Him face to face. But one thing is true. God is sovereign. He is above all. And woe of me, to go against the word of my God. I will continue to trust Him. As Brother Sunil shared with me last night, said, Pastor, I didn't give up. I didn't get discouraged. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And he shared a couple scenarios where doctors, he said, Pastor, we have tried everything. And he even went as far as saying, whatever money can buy, you know, we bought. We went and did exactly. And said, and even went to the point where there's one doctor who, after a failed procedure or a failed attempt, whatever that was that doctor specialized in, it failed. And the doctor just squarely looked at him and said, his exact words were, you guys are pruned for bad luck. No, you guys are just unlucky. I think that was the exact verbiage there. To which Brother Sunil shared with me, Pastor, I took a step to the side and I just cried. As a matter of fact, I cried all that day. But I did not accept those words. Those were hurtful words, but I still kept praying. I still kept moving. And I blessed the Lord. But a lot of people, they would have probably gone into depression. They would probably go and they would shut down. They would have resentment. They would feel angry towards God. And oftentimes I hear people say, if the Lord that you serve and this Lord that I'm supposed to serve is a God of love and compassion, how can he do this? Brother Sunil shared with me, Lord, a prayer that he made, said, Lord, I am your child. We are your child. Can you help us? This was one of his prayers. And this, I'm pretty sure that almost every single one of you in here have said these words to your God before. Lord, I am your child. I am your servant. I serve you. I love you. So why? Why is this happening? Right? But now going back to what I just finished saying, some of us shut down. Some of us become resentful. And we come to God, and when we don't hear an answer right away, when we go up to the prayer line, when people lay hands on us, it doesn't happen right away. You know, sometimes they blame the preacher. Why is it that the preacher prays for this person and something happens, but he prays for me and nothing happens? Right? My wife shared something with me just a couple of days ago, day before yesterday, that it was a live stream that she was watching, and the person that was making this comment said something, who's been here, he's been here before, made a comment that really hit home with me, and it had been a while since I've heard this, and it was so good to be refreshed on this statement, this fact, right? And this is the fact. This is the truth. It is not my responsibility, my duty, my power to heal anyone. It is God's. Furthermore, it doesn't stop there. My duty, my responsibility is to pray for you, is to intercede for you. That is my responsibility. And this is what we're going to do and continue on doing on and on again till the Lord comes back or he takes me home. We, the church leadership, any one of us, as a matter of fact, we pray for one another, right? We pray for the sick. We pray for our family members. We pray for our family, our church family, because the Lord instructed us to do. And the Lord gave us power, specifically supernatural power, which is activated and triggered by faith. By faith. And we all have gifts. Every single one of us. Everyone in here. And even you watching right now. You have a God-given gift. Or plural. Right? It is your job to do your job. And it is God's job to do what he does in his perfect timing, in his will. Hallelujah. Now, some people don't understand. They don't want to understand. They want the now, right? Lord, run now, run now. Like Sarah Bowling says, run now, right? They want the now. So they'll put blame on the preacher or on the person evangelizing. My job, my duty is to pray and intercede for you. It's the Lord's job to do what he does best. And that is be awesome. Amen. But I want to focus right now on the latter. How do you react? If the Lord did not answer your prayer in your timing, if you did not receive a miracle when you wanted, right? Are you going to resent? Will you be upset? And this is what I have been talking about for the past week. And I'm going to wrap it up today. And that is fortifying your mind. The human mind is something that I have been somewhat indulging myself in for the past, I'd say, year. Because Paul instructs every single one of us to renew our mind. It's important for us to renew our mind, right? You have a boxing match, and you got two professional boxers just boxing, right? Fighting. They might give some body shots, some body blows, right? But ultimately, they're aiming for the head. And they know that if they rattle the brain, the cranium, the head, the whole body goes down, right? You have this massive, I was watching some old Mike Tyson fights, and he's fighting everybody like this, because they're all taller than him. And he's bringing down these giants just by an uppercut. Why? Because he's rattling the brain. If he knows, if he lands that perfect shot, right, right there, right on the chin, right, or right on the side of the head, this giant is just going to come tumbling down. So you have to protect your head. You have to protect everything. Chin down, guards up, right? Fortifying your mind, protecting your mind against all impurities, against all evils, against all attacks, against all evil thoughts. I firmly, strongly believe that is pivotal. Because if you could do that, the battle is already won. Amen. It's already won. My opening verse last week was Philippians 4, and I want to for it to be the opening verse this week again. The first verse on the list there, brothers, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Can I have that, please? And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I repeat myself, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Next two verses, please. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See there? The peace of God. And finally, brethren, whatever thing is true, whatever thing is noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever thing are of good report, if there is anything, any virtue, I'm sorry, and if there is anything praiseworthy, the word of the Lord says, meditate on them. Meditate on all of these things, all these things. To meditate, you see there? All these things that Paul is saying are things, excuse me, that your mind processes. These are all things that you think about. All these things translate to feelings, emotions, wills, wants, all of that. If there's any sort of praise in it, if it's praiseworthy, think about them. Meditate about them. Don't dwell in the things that make you sad. And it's important for us to know that all of this boils down to one thing. It's a battle. And it is a raging battle that is in the mind. And it is spiritual. And you cannot fight it any other way than in the spiritual form. Well, then how so, you might say, Pastor? I'm going to bring to your attention right now a common verse. And it's not in the scripture list, Brother David. Can you please put up Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to cover a stack of verses. We're going to start in verse 10 all the way to 18. And as much as you could put up will be nice, but if not, that's fine. I know we are working with technology. If you could put up a few of them, that would be nice. One-on-one would be a bit cumbersome for me. Can you put a block up there? We're going to cover verses 10 through 18. Thank you, brother. The word of the Lord says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is an order. Put on the whole armor of God, everything, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, of the devil, the adversary. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. I want to focus your attention right now in verses 18 that says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see why this is a spiritual battle. You see why twice, in just a few verses, Paul instructs us to put on the whole armor, not just your faith, but everything else, in prayer. I want to let you know today that you do not have to lose the battle that you're going through right now. You don't. Whatever you might be going through, whatever situation might seem to be impossible for you, it is not impossible for God. It is not. And I want to start out by saying, please get this through your head. And I say it politely. Get it through your mind. Sometimes just because we do not see an end to a situation, even though it might come across as though it is impossible, nothing is impossible to our God. Nothing at all. A testimony was just given before we went on live stream of a dear sister from the church here who is a relative of mine, who was in serious bondage. And the Lord is delivering and delivering and delivering. Day by day, she wins that battle.
Hallelujah.
All through prayer.
Hallelujah.
And she was heading in a path of no return. Of no return whatsoever. And how many times have we burned some kneecaps around here praying for her?
Yeah.
We have. And now you're seeing results, aren't you? It wasn't results that happened instantaneously. It took a few months, right? But now she has her own place. She's not homeless. She has a job. She's going to church. And things are just going to be getting better and better and better and better. Amen. But if we were to give up at the first prayer and we didn't get the results that we wanted, then how would the Lord receive glory? He wouldn't. You already gave up before the battle started. You were already defeated before you even got to swing the first punch. And that's not what God wants at all. We fight. We fight for the Lord. And I want you to remember one thing. Remember one thing. Remember that He has planned your path. He has planned your ways. Nothing is coincidental. Now we have a choice. We have free will. The Bible says, today choose whom you will serve. Yes? That means you have a choice to do what you're going to do. This free will thing that rarely gets talked about, I believe that it's one of the most beautiful things that God has ever created in the universe. Free will. Today, choose you this day how you will fight your fight, what you will believe. Will you believe the doctor's report when they tell you that you're just unlucky, you're hopeless, give up? Is that what you're going to believe? Are you going to believe the circumstances that's right in front of you? Because if you do, you have already been defeated. Your path is planned, and your path is a path of victory. But you will not be victorious if you don't put on the whole armor. Not just partial armor. And then you might say, Pastor, how is it that you say that my path has already been planned? Where does it say in the Bible? Okay. You that trust the Word of God. You that trust the Lord. Right? The Bible being your sword. Brother, you see there Psalms 37, verses 23. And it says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in all his ways. But then you might be saying, okay, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I fall. Things happen. You say that all of this was ordered by God, but I had a hiccup. I fell. And now I'm experiencing the circumstances of all of this, right? Because are you perfect? You're not. Well, good thing we have here the next verse. Verse 24, please. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Though you fall, though you had a hiccup, are you going to give up? Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, no. Things are only getting worse. If that's the attitude, you're already lost. You already gave up. How can the Lord lift you up? He can't. This is why I believe verse 24 is equally as important as verse 23. Can you put that together up there, Brother David? 23 and 24, please. I'm going to read all of this at once. Because these two verses belong together, like coffee and milk. My wife likes her coffee dark, so I guess it doesn't totally apply. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his way. Though he fall, man that is, man shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You see there? But now, if you fall, you scrape your knee, scrape your elbow, you might even twist your ankle, and all of a sudden, I can't get up. I give up. That's not the will of the Lord. Why are these things happening to me? You won't see the result you're looking for. And this is the battle of the mind that I have been speaking about for the past 2 weeks. The Lord has promised to make all things good. Everything. Sometimes we might not see it. Sometimes we might be caught in a situation to where as though you might say, how can this be good? Well, Romans 8:28 says it clearly. You know the verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's you and I. To those who are called according to his purpose. All things, folks. Not just some things. Our Lord God has promised to go with you every step of the way. Your entire life. Hebrews 13:5, please. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now here's where I have it highlighted in my Bible. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Hallelujah. These are words from our God. If now that you know and you know and you know and you know that the Lord is with you, why be cast down, O my soul? Why? Why be defeated? The Lord has promised you abiding victory. He has promised us the destination. The destination will be worth every trip, every mile. Sometimes we might encounter some turbulence, but that's okay. God is with us. That's all right. It's polishing my character. Do you think that I would be who I am if I didn't go across all the ups and downs in life that I have and that you have? Would you say that you are who you are because of what the Lord has brought you through? Do you think that your testimony isn't something powerful for the next person the Lord is going to bring to you to witness to? Because every single one of us has a testimony. Every single one of us. None of you are excluded. We all can serve our God by our testimony. But not if our countenance is down. Not if we're feeling defeated. Not if we are sad. Can I have 2 Corinthians 4:17, please? There it is. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Knowing that whatever you're going through right now is temporary. Knowing that what you're going through right now will outweigh later on in life, in our real life, in our eternal life, right? Why be cast down, O my soul? Why be defeated? Why give up? Why the wrong continents? I have been speaking about building a wall. Last week, I talked about a wall of praise that will help you protect your mind. This week, I want to talk about building a wall. And this is very important, folks. This is extremely important because it's hard. Building a wall of patience. Patience. In Philippians 4 that we read, the word moderation literally means gentle or gracious spirit. It has the idea of being patient with others, patient with other people, of giving way to the rights and wishes of others in this life that we are living in right now. Now, it does not mean that we have to compromise the doctrine. It does not mean that at all. It does mean that we have a willingness to take the back seat in the favor of other people. In other terms, putting others first above yourself. Someone else's need above your own. Going the extra mile. This is what it means. And this is the idea that we see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4, please. And it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Paul is saying that the reality of our faith should be demonstrated in how we deal with other people. If you only greet your friends, right? If you only greet people that you like, that you know, how different are you from an unbeliever? Right? How different are you from any one of them who don't know the truth, the light, the way of life, salvation, the God of love? In the focus of our lives, if the focus of our lives, is strictly on yourself, on you, then when people hurt us, when they wrong us, when they slight us, when they cross us, and all these things, etc., there will be a desire to retaliate and get vengeance. It's a natural feeling. The Apostle Paul wants us to get the focus off of ourselves and get it on others. When we are focused on those around us, we will be less likely to hurt but what other people say, but what other people do, and what they won't, and what they say or what they do won't sting us that bad at all. How they act can be passed over much more easily. When we adopt the mentality of self-love that is all around us, we will always look at the things people do and say always as a personal attack. Do you ever notice someone who always feels offended about everything? They find fault on everyone. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, not only would I say that's self-love, but I'll probably go a step further and say that's very self-centered. when everyone is wrong. It's everybody else's fault. And this is what we're trying to separate ourselves, that mentality, that way of thought. It will cause us to wear our feelings on our sleeves and to be more easily hurt by the words and actions that other people do that in that particular situation will never be to your approval. This will cause us problems in the mind as well as we dwell on what was done and what was said. If we can learn to accept others just the way that they are, and overlook how they act, and overlook what they do, it will protect the mind from dwelling in negativeness, in negativity, in negative areas. And it will build a wall of protection against the mind that others cannot penetrate at all. And now the bottom line is this, folks. If we can learn to live in genuine content, then it will not matter what anybody else says and what anybody else does. Oftentimes, just one sentence, just one comment will break a happy family, will divide a church, will get somebody fired, will get you demoted. But if we build this wall, we do not let the enemy win, first of all, in our minds. There is no need for retaliation. Could I please have Philippians 4:11? The Word of God says this: "Nor that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Whatever state. Now, oftentimes you might hear preachers speak about this verse and speaking about physical necessities, physical needs. And oftentimes, in need, literally. But right now, this verse, Paul says, being content, being satisfied, being okay, whatever translation you have, it all means the same thing. And wouldn't you say that's a state of mind? The state of mind of being content, right? Paul suffered from a sickness that he pleaded with the Lord more than once for the Lord to take it away. And what was the Lord's response? "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for you." This is what he said. So why must Paul walk cast down with a limp instead of rejoicing, instead of being content? Do you understand? The mind will be protected from the evil it likes to find in situations. And right now, I'm talking about patience, so I'm going to say others. Notice one thing. The enemy loves nothing better than to get your eyes off of our Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you agree with that? There is nothing that he strives to do more than to derail us. He loves nothing more than that. And then, if we do not guard our minds, what are we going to do? Constantly find faults in others. Constantly. The flesh loves nothing better than to go along with the enemy on this matter. And when this happens, the mind is in danger. When we start pointing fingers, when we start seeing faults, pointing out the faults, we cannot do that. We must guard our mind against that. And this is why I am elaborating on building a wall of patience. Now, time is escaping here. Let me proceed. The next I want to talk about is building a wall of prayer. Building a wall of prayer is equally just as important. I have been talking about prayer a lot lately. Prayer is very important. Do you have there Philippians 4, 6, brother? Thank you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verses 6 right now that we just finished reading warns us against the danger of worry. Right now, if the Apostle Paul is saying that we must make our requests known to God, it pretty much implies that you are going to have needs. Wouldn't you say so? But then he warns us not to worry, not to be anxious. The idea of anxiety is what it's referring to right now. It refers to a state of mind that is agitated over the events and the circumstances that occur in our lives. Now, there is nothing wrong with having concerns. Please understand that. There's nothing wrong with having concerns at all. We all have our concerns about certain things, and that's okay, and that's normal. It is when your concern has you by the collar. It is when your concern has you. That's where the problem begins. That's where the problem arises. When you are consumed by it. When you can't stop thinking about it, when you lose precious sleep over it, then it becomes a problem. That is anxiety. Anxiety problems. Worry is so dangerous because it allows the mind to conceive false notions about your God. Your mind is meditating about things that are not true about the God that you and I serve. Worry says, there is no God right now. My God has abandoned me. Or it might say, if there is a God, he obviously doesn't care about me and my situation. I mentioned this in the beginning of the sermon this morning. And both of those statements are false. God is alive. God is real. And he has not left you alone. Hebrews 7:25, please. Therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. Guess who's got your back? Guess who's interceding for you? You see that? What makes you think that you are alone? Going through this life alone. Fighting this fight alone. You are not. And guess what? God cares for you. He really does. It might not feel like it right now. But God still cares for you. And the Lord is saying this morning, come to me. Leave the anxiety aside. Bring your supplications. Bring your case. No problem at all. 1 Peter 5:7, please. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for me. No matter what it is. When the problems of life come our way, we are given some precious helps in some of these verses. Let us not forget. Let us not forget at all. Exercise the tool of prayer. Pray. Seek your God. Paul speaks of prayer, supplication, and requests. These might be thought of general praying, specific praying, and detailed praying. The main thrust of this verse is that instead of worrying, the believer is to demonstrate his or her faith in the power and the will of God by seeking the Lord their God through prayer. Building a wall of prayer. And also, it's equally important, just as important, to develop a thankful heart. We all have, if not most of us right now, have seen, witnessed, been here for Thurman Scrivener. He's preached here many times for some years. He used to come on average of about once a year, rarely twice, but usually about once a year or so. And right now, he's not doing a whole lot of traveling. But what is the first thing that you hear come out of the mouth of Thurman, Pastor Thurman Scrivener? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You'll go out to eat with him? He's pulling the chair. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he'll address you. He got up from the table. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's embedded in him. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. Everything that he says is praise the Lord. I wish I could walk with him in a gas station as he's paying for his gas. Praise the Lord. Pump 3, please. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And you have to be looking for it because you get used to it, you know, after a while. You know, so we become acquainted to the saying. But how important it is to develop a thankful heart. Praise God. Regardless of the situation you face in your life, no matter what, learn to praise the Lord through them all. Through the good, through the bad, through the thick, through the thin. Praise the Lord. And nothing brings our Lord nearer and drives the enemy away any faster than a genuinely thankful heart. Yes, Lord. Amen, church?
Amen.
The Lord's promise to us is that He will replace our worry, our fear, our anxiety with peace. That's a promise from God's folks. And when we come before Him in trusting, humble prayer, He will honor your prayer.
Yes, He does.
In verse 7 that we read in Philippians 4, it says guard. It uses the word guard. And that word guard in verse 7 of Philippians 4 means this: to garrison, or build a fort around, to post a guard. Guard. There you go, brother. Thank you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Now, this that's going to guard your mind, this is that's going to guard your thought, your heart, means to build a fort around. How do you like that? What if God builds that fort for you? Are you still under anxiety? Are you still under fear? Do you still question? Do you see why the importance right now to be thankful? To thank God?
Amen. The Lord promises to post a guard around the heart and mind of the person who genuinely trusts Him with their needs of life, with everything in life. Instead of worrying yourself sick about things you cannot change, of things that you cannot change, folks, learn to trust in the Lord in prayer, and therefore build a wall of prayer. Amen, church?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And finally, the final thing that I'm going to talk about in fortifying your mind is build a wall of purity. Purity. All of these words Paul uses in his verse are a picture of God's Word, the Word of God. It is true, folks. John 17, 17, please. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. The Word of God. Since the Bible is true, everything it says fits within the category mentioned by Paul. Everything. It is honest, the Word of God, or honorable. It is just, meaning right. It is pure, meaning what? Clean, holy, the Word of God. It is lovely. In other words, beautiful. It is a good report. Or in other words, good reputation. It is full of virtue, meaning excellence. And it is full of praise, that which tends towards worship. The word praise. What we have here is a call to fix our minds upon the things of God. The source for finding out about those things could only be found in one place, and that is God's holy word. In other words, if we will fill our minds with the words of God, there will be no room for the enemy. No room for worry, no room for fear, no room for vengeance, no room for confusion, and no room for trouble if we just fill our minds with the Word of God. A mind filled and led by the Word of God is a stable mind. Do you understand? I'm trying to keep things as simple as possible. Filling your mind with the Word, you find stability in your life. If you want a stable, fixed mind, the only place to get it, the only place, folks, is on the Word of God. And that's it. We are to take the initiative and force the mind to dwell in the Bible and what it says, instead of allowing the mind to run to evil, to gossip, or others, and what they are doing, or our problems, and all these other things that distract us, is nothing but a distraction. A mind saturated with and fixed upon the Word of God is a stable mind. This is something that you folks must do for yourself. No one else can do it for you. Okay. You're welcome to pray about it if you want. But it's up to you to get up every single morning. Pick up this book. Clean it off.
and read it. Because this book is not just going to magically come up like this, open itself up, put it in the perfect where you can read it. No. This takes effort. This takes commitment. And you do it because you love God. Because you want to know more about Him. Because you want to strengthen your spiritual man. Your inner man. You want to strengthen your mind. And you want to put on the whole armor. It starts right here. The Word of God. You must do it yourself. Without that, you're stuck. Without that, you are a victim. You are a victim. A victim of what? Anxiety. Worry, fear, and everything else in between. We wonder why we don't get much out of preaching sometimes. We wonder why we don't get much out of church sometimes. The answer lies in the fact that every day we allow our minds to feed on the filth of the world and to dwell on the problems and problem people bring to our lives. This is the issue. And this is sometimes the reason why we cannot focus. We cannot extract the pulp, that good pulp. Extract the meat and throw away the bones. We can't, because our mind is saturated with the filth that is all around us and everything else. The importance of guarding your mind. If we would give as much energy to dwelling in the Word of God day by day, it would transform our time in the house of God. Believe me when I say that. It would. You know, I just want to say that we sell books back there. I highly recommend, I highly encourage for you to browse our bookstore. There's some good stuff in there. Right? Very good stuff. There are commentaries, there are experiences, there are things that you can add to your reading material. But this is the key word here, add. Not replace. I read God's Word. I've been reading God's Word more than ever in my life. The past couple of years, more so than ever. But I also read the strong concordance, commentators. I read testimonies. I use a lot of testimonies. I incorporate them in my preaching because it fortified my inner man. It gave me a boost, right? But it is no replacement for this. There's nothing wrong with reading books. Books is actually great exercise for your mind. Your brain is a muscle. Just like your biceps are muscle, is a muscle, right? It's also muscle. You must exercise that muscle. And you do that by reading, solving problems, a whole bunch of stuff. Fill your mind with this. Amen, church? Amen. The Word of God. In conclusion, I want to say this. I'm going to wrap up here in a couple minutes. Your mind is a precious gift from God. Understand that. And know this, that your mind is a precious gift that only the Lord gave you. It can be used for good or for evil. And all the sources of good and evil are battling in your mind all the time. Understand that. Who wins the battle is always determined by you. You determine who wins it. It's your choice. The choice is yours. Here are the tools. Here is the armor. It is totally up to you if you put it on. No one can control your mind. Do you know that? No one can, but only you. Only you can control your mind. We are told in the Bible that we need to fortify our minds. It is our job individually to do so. Us. We are instructed to do that. This is a very critical matter, folks. Because how you think determines how you will live your life. Do you understand that statement? How you think will determine your life. Can I please have Matthew? My list cut off here. Do you have Matthew there, brother? Thank you. I had a long scripture list. I made sure I wrote all of this. This got cut off. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and..." Your mind is not excluded, is it? Hey, look at that. The Lord is making sure that he covers all the bases, all the areas that count. All of you. Only you can control your mind. And it's totally up to you if you will love the Lord with all of it, with all of your mind. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love the Lord. And therefore, that's an instruction for you. That's a command for you. The Lord is not going to do that for you. Only you can do it. Guard and fortify your mind. Brother, do you have there Proverbs 4:23? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. We can't run away from that, folks. It's impossible. We are to see that our minds are always connected, are always in love with our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Until the mind is settled, all of life is out of control. Amen? So therefore, this is why it's important for us to line our minds with the Word of God. And I challenge you this morning, you that's watching right now, and every single one of you here, I challenge you to fortify your Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I want right now for everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. I haven't done this in a while. I've been on the path of teaching, sharing what the Spirit has given to share to the congregation, to the church, and all of you that's watching right now online. But I want all of you to close your eyes right now. Something that has not been given the opportunity lately. was an opportunity to dedicate your life to the Lord. There's a lot of things that I talk about. There's a lot of things that I cover. But before a lot of the things that are spoken about can come to fruition in your life, a dedication must be made. And that is dedicating your life to the Lord. Potentially you might be watching this right now online and you're not in a church setting, you're at home. In the perfect scenario, you would be in a church environment and the saints of God, along with the angels, would be witness that you have made a commitment. It is witnessed. But that's okay if you're watching this right now. First, I'm going to address the congregation here. You have an opportunity to make things right with God. You have an opportunity to not doubt at all. Not question. You have an opportunity to inherit eternal life. And it's very important for you to think about it because you might have heard this before, tomorrow is not guaranteed. You do not know if you're going to make it home when you leave this place. You do not know if you're going to be caught in a car accident and you not making out of it. You don't know. Or a heart attack. Just yesterday, one of my clients stopped at the dealership and he said his friend of 40 years old had a massive heart attack and died. I don't know if he was a believer or not. 40. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. I urge you, if you have any doubts, if you question, if you don't know if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, here's an opportunity for you to make things right with God. And have His seal in your life. Is there anyone here? Everyone has their eyes closed. I don't know if you're watching right now. I don't know if you have followed the Lord or if you are a Christian or if you think that you might have fallen away. Or you've never done this. If in case you want your name to be written in the book of life, if in case you want to go to heaven when you leave this earth, it is important for you to repeat these words after me. Please close your eyes and say after me, Lord Jesus, I accept you in my life. I accept the sacrifice that you have made on the cross so I can inherit eternal salvation. Be the Lord of my life, and I dedicate my life to you. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for participating in this series of Fortifying Your Mind. As I said last week, it's not going to stop here. This is a topic that I'm passionate about. This is a topic that I enjoy. And this is something that I want to expound on even further as the Lord allows. If you have any questions, any concerns, if you need any special prayer, our church email is on a description. Our church address is here on Liberty Road, 10240 Liberty Road, Randallstown in Maryland. Stop by when we are here. Our telephone number is 410-655-3777. Give us a call. If somebody doesn't answer, leave us a voice message. It does get checked regularly. The battle of the mind is something that is very crucial. It's very important. And you do not have to fight this fight alone. And you do not have to feel that you are defeated. Technically, you already won. The battle is done. Be glad. Trust in your God. And if you need any sort of prayer, special prayer, reach out to us. We will minister to you for the honor and glory of His name. Amen, church.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.